We're talking boys this morning, and we're getting into the latest production from the latest production at the Blue Room. It kicked off earlier this week, kicked off on Tuesday, and it's running until the 24th of August. Boyhood, Privilege, Power, Madonna, Amen. Looking at faith, sexuality and privilege too, there's Footy in there. All Boys is a show that follows a group of boys at an elite Catholic boys' school as they are forged into the type of men that rule the world whether they like it or not. It was long listed for the 2023 Griffin Award and directed by Shazira Kriti-Schnaz, a director of Seven Sisters. She works with Perth Festival, Waco and Salted, writer of Salted Pretzels at the Blue Room Theatre too. She's a name that might be familiar to you from around RTR too. Of course, involved with the Songlines podcast here at the station. But this play was written by Xavier Hazard, and he's a NIDA and VCA graduate that's been across all boys' schools here in Borloo and over in the eastern states. He wanted to explore the strange lines between violence and intimacy, victimhood and perpetration, shining a spotlight on the world hidden in plain sight that is all boys' schools. What do boys discover when they can do what they want? We started out the interview by talking about this play as a period piece. It's how Xavier's described it, which I think is hilarious. And he's going to expand on why, in particular, he wants to call it a period piece.
So the period piece phrase, obviously, is a little bit tongue-in-cheek in the sense that, obviously, the play is set between 2009 and 2014. So maybe, and hopefully it wasn't that long ago, that was the period of time that I was in high school. But I think part of the justification behind that was, one, this is me trying to tell this story in a really truthful way, and I'm not trying to represent that I just went to high school. It was literally 10 years ago now. But then also part of that, I think, and part of the power of telling stories with a little bit of distance, is that within that distance, you can give people the chance to kind of pause, reflect, and not immediately have their guard up. A lot of this play is really about bringing people in, and that's men, women, people in between, everyone, and just starting from a place of no judgment, so that then we can kind of all enter in on this kind of blank slate, this blank emotional slate on what is a really topical issue that people can immediately have thoughts about, men, masculinity, all of these things immediately make people kind of get up in arms. What we want to do very clearly from the beginning of this show is tell a story. And there's a reason that we're kind of not writing an article about this, not doing an essay. This is a story. And so that period piece element just gives a little bit of distance, so we can start by saying, let's go to 2009 and let's meet some 12-year-olds and then go from there.
You went to an all-boys school. Can you talk to me a little bit about your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually went to two all-boys schools. So I went to one in Sydney from year 7 to 9, and then I went to one in Perth from year 10 to 12. So this play kind of straddles both of those experiences. I was, if you can't tell, a little gay boy. And so it wasn't the easiest thing during that period of time to be a little gay boy in either of those schools. So I think there was definitely an element of, I was very out of my depth. All my friends in primary school were girls. So being in this kind of hyper-masculine, hyper-male-focused environment in the most formative kind of years of my life, well, definitely, obviously, at the time, there was a lot going on, let's say, but there's a lot of pressure, and I think the difficult thing for me was, at the same time that I was kind of struggling with who I am, I was being told who I should be, and that was all so closely linked to this idea of what a man should be and how a boy should go from being a boy to being a man. And that was all kind of, within these all-male institutions, which was not the easiest thing.
I can imagine. I went to an all-girls school and it has its own trials and tribulations, but of course lots of interactions with an all-boys school, with quite often Christian or religious schools, you know, there's a pair-up between girls and boys schools. They have a brother school or a sister school. So those interactions were there with an all-boys school of my own, and they weren't necessarily all positive. But I guess despite it being, you know, what you're saying, 10 years ago since you were in high school, and I'm about the same, this setting, this narrative, this idea of a story does feel really timely. It kind of links to a national conversation that's going on at the moment about how harmful or beneficial all-boys schools are, if they're worth existing, if it's worth keeping them around. And there's definitely a conversation, of course, even more broadly, about the way that we're raising men in this country. And quite often that is through all-boys schools. It does feel very timely, but I'm curious about the motivation for you to write this now, for the catalyst. Was there frustration that was really present in you? What made this sort of happen now? Or was it something that you'd written a long time ago and revisited? I'm curious about how the actual writing of this came about.
Yeah, absolutely. I started writing this 2 years ago. While I was at VCA, Victorian College of the Arts, doing a playwriting course. And I guess when I first kind of stumbled on the idea, I was actually working with a playwright called Jane Harrison, who recently had her show Stolen and also The Visitors at STC. She's a First Nations playwright, and she was kind of doing this activity where she asked us to write something that we'd kind of been avoiding writing, a character we'd been avoiding writing, really jumping into something. And up until that point, most of the plays that I'd written, mostly for the UDS, the University of Juridic Society in Perth, had been about women and or queer men. And so this was kind of the first time that I'd been like, okay, I'm going to dive into writing a straight male character. And that might seem like it was just a kind of small thought for me, but then it turned into this massive thing where as I continued to write this play and I started to get kind of actors in to read it and chat about it and develop it, it became clearer and clearer that there wasn't a lot of this kind of conversation happening in a way that, and I want to make it really clear when I say this, happening in a way that included men. And that doesn't mean that it's coming at it a point of view that isn't like feminist or that's meninist or that's like anti-women, but it's that next step of the conversation where we are having a national conversation, a crucial conversation, an urgent conversation about these issues with boys' schools. But we've been having these urgent national conversations for a decade, for 20 years, for many, many years. And all the while, I guess my underlying frustration, and as I was developing the show, it kind of crystallized to the point where I felt like what we're doing is we're telling stories about individual boys in that moment. We're going to the headlines, we're going, look at this politician, look at this thing that he did in high school, it's his fault, and by the way, aren't boys' schools bad? But the trouble for me was that those conversations then all got pushed into this particular man or this particular monster. What I'm doing with All Boys and why it's called All Boys, other than the fact that it's about all boys' schools, is what I'm really trying to get at is these systems and these worlds have created a place where there are no monsters. They're all boys, but it could be any boy that's the next headline. And that's kind of what I was really trying to get at and what I want to get at in this show, because it does go, it goes for 90 minutes, but it's set over 6 years. And so the audience follows these boys from the point where they are literal children to the point where they're on the brink of adulthood. They're about to go into the world, and many of them have done really terrible things, but you've been with them the whole way. And so that was what I was trying to really get at in writing this show.
In writing the show and in it coming into the world, coming into fruition in the world, to make that happen, you've worked with Shazira Kudishnaz, a name that's familiar to many RTRFM listeners and folks around the Perth theatre scene. She's a queer woman of colour, and she brings, I'm imagining, quite a different perspective. What was it like working with her to facilitate a story like this?
Well, obviously, Sez is an absolute legend, and anyone who doesn't know her name will absolutely know it so soon. But yeah, it's been the most incredible experience. The first kind of phone call we had after Cez had read the play was just the most joyful experience of my life, because she just immediately came to it with so many thoughts. And I think one of the beautiful things is that where this isn't a story that I'm telling alone, or that any cast member is telling alone, or that even Cez is telling alone, we're all kind of coming together, the creative team led by Cez and myself, and then the cast, the crew, all of us, to tell a story we couldn't tell by ourselves. And I think Cez's unique perspective, obviously coming from the intersections of her identity, her experience in Perth, the fact that, yes, she is a Greek Noongar woman, a queer woman, and that she's running this room full of almost all white boys. Some are queer, some are First Nations, but the whole kind of her perspective is giving it that additional and unique angle. And it's a really important conversation that I think, again, it's telling a story that none of us could tell separately. And having Cez on board, obviously, is just incredibly legendary, because she has such an incredible vision, and she has a really, really interesting ideas about how she wants to bring this story to life, about what it means to tell a story about young boys, about high schoolers, with, for example, men that are in their mid-20s or early 20s, and how that can kind of resonate, about how we design it in a particular way so that we can tell the story, about how the scenes of intimacy and the scenes of violence are kind of created in a way that's safe but that's also authentic. All of those things, it's just been incredible. Honestly, for me, I had no problems at all, basically being like, I've written the words, you work your magic.
When reading about this play, there's a big focus on the idea of a solution, and that seemed to be a priority in creating this world and communicating this narrative, was not leaving audience members without a solution. Can you talk to me a little bit about what you mean by that?
Obviously, there are so many issues, so many questions, so many thoughts people have around these kind of institutions. What we're doing with this particular play is, one, immersing people within this kind of hidden world that a lot of people don't have access to, right? If you're not working in these institutions, or you're not a boy who, or a person who's gone to one of these schools, then you're really not, you don't understand, or you haven't fully seen the way that it operates. So there's truth telling in that regard, just being like, let's come in, let's all be on the same page as we have this discussion. This is kind of what happens. Then there's also going through the journey of unpacking this idea, or removing the narrative around the idea that the big headlines around the boys that have transgressed and done terrible things that are associated with these schools, none of those are monsters. Monsters don't exist. Those are all men. Those are all people. And therefore, knowing that, how did they become those people? And how are we creating environments, or how do we continue to create environments where people like that are either enabled, created, changed, or on the other end of things, stopped, confronted in some particular way. And I think, again, this is a show with a solution, in the sense that it helps outline the problems in a way that isn't immediately judgmental. It's not didactic. It's saying, these are the observations that we've had, these are the truths about these worlds, and at least what it gives you as you leave is a point of reference. I've also found that for a lot of men who've kind of struggled with their thoughts articulating what happened in these worlds, and there's so much cooked up in the privilege, in the ideas of identity, in also the ideas of being a straight man and being like, well, how do I walk away from an environment that actually quite affected me and my development a lot without being able to sound like I'm being a privileged, like, bad person, me trying not to swear right now. How do you have those conversations? And sometimes watching a play and being like, oh, what did you think about this character that did this thing? What did you think about this experience? What did you think about how that was resolved? So we're not coming at you with a dot point list of, this is how we fix the problems with the patriarchy, this is how we should educate children in the future. But what we're giving is a really concrete, emotional, true and authentic story about a bunch of boys that end up doing a bunch of terrible things, and you know exactly why they did those things, and then we can talk about that.
I think that it's a great conversation starter. It's a way in, and it sounds like something that Bell Hooks might do, is put on a play like this that would start these conversations. She's one of my favourite authors, and she does write a lot about making people human, understanding their flaws, and I like that idea of taking them away from monsters and making them human. These people are real, and they exist in our world. Let's not make them external or an extra force outside of that. Let's understand them as human and understand how that makes up part of our world and our narrative and how that's affecting people. Bell Hooks was a big part in you understanding what you wanted to do with this play, and I really love that. I love the intensity and the lines that you're walking here, and I think that those are important. But it is quite a big topic and quite a heavy one at that. Are there moments of levity in the production and in the way that you broach these big topics, these big conversations and these big ideas in this big story?
Absolutely. There are moments of levity. I think it's interesting to go to what you were saying about Bell Hooks there. I think that the play starts where I kind of found this quote that really captures the essence of the play, which is essentially that Bell Hooks says in her book, The Will to Change Men, Masculinity and Love, that the first act of violence that the patriarchy demands of men is violence against their emotional selves. And if they don't commit those acts of violence, they can be assured that other men will do it for them. The joyful side of that, whilst that obviously like kind of encapsulates everything we've been talking about, on the other side, we get to see some boys be emotional. We get to see some really sweet moments, some really beautiful friendships. This isn't a play that's all doom and gloom. It's a play that ultimately ends with a sense of hope. And in between, it's a play about teenagers, about boys figuring out who they are. And so there's a lot of mess, there's a lot of silliness, and there's a lot of sweetness in that. I think that's really important. I think, again, as you said, it's all about humanizing people, and you have to humanize these young boys. You have to be able to do that. And that's what makes it so cathartic and lovely when they're funny and sweet. And that's what makes it so shocking and awful when terrible things happen. But I honestly think, you know, the saddest moments and the hardest moments in our lives are often also the funniest. So there's lots of levity, lots of fun. It's definitely not all doom and gloom, because there has to be hope, I think. Otherwise, I don't know what's next. I think, we've always got to lead with hope.
On Brekkie, that's Xavier Hazard catching up with me to talk a little bit about The Boys, a brand new show that's airing at the Blue Room. It's showing at the Blue Room. It opened on Tuesday and it's running until the 24th of August. The writer of the show there, and you can buy tickets if you want to, blueroom.org.au, directed by Shazira Kriti-Schnaz, a name that's familiar to folks in the theatre scene, talking a little bit about the sort of premise of the show.